each one. What a tremendous joy to see each one of you. I couldn't help but be moved to tears as I remembered God's faithfulness in the past. God has been really good to us when we have taken times like this to seek Him. And we're trusting that somehow He chooses to continue that. I hope it wasn't too stretching for you all. I'm hoping this won't be out of line or too stretching, but we tried to choose some subject this week so that when you look ahead and think about your last day of life here on earth, many times what happens is you reflect back over your life. And I know you might feel like you're a bit young and your life isn't, you're not at that point. But many times when people are in the last days of their life, they look back over their life and they wonder, have I accomplished? What have I accomplished? Has my life been of any value? What has happened with my life here on earth? So this week we did our best to pick subjects and give you a small taste of them, that if you can somehow find God's grace to apply them in your life, our trust is at the end of your life, you'll be able to look back and say that God's purpose, God's reason for me being here has been accomplished. Is that possible? I think if we could all do that, young men, young ladies, I think that would be the best way a life could be spent, is at the end of it, we could say, I think the reason God had me here on earth has been accomplished. So if it seems a bit far out, if some of these seem a bit practical, that's a burden. That's our heart. I had a vision for God gave us a vision for each one of your lives, and we desire that at the end of your life you would have chose the best. That you could say with Paul that you have fought a good fight and you have finished your course. So our series this week is a life of purpose. There's different ways we could state it, but it's our heart and our desire here for you all. Had to think of this proverb as we're here today. This proverb says there's four things that do not come back. It says the arrow that is shot, the spoken word, time that is past, and the neglected opportunity. And we have opportunity here today. May God help us. I do also trust that you all find security this week in knowing that God does have deep love and care for each one of you. His love and care goes far beyond what we can imagine. And He has a reason for you being here on earth. You're not a mistake. He has something that He wants to accomplish in each of our lives. together. Something he wants to do. I had to think of the words that Jesus said in John 17. At the end of his life, he said, I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I finished the things that he was able to say that God, that he had done the things that God had given him to do. So, Brother Jonathan was kind enough to put together these little booklets here. And I trust each one of you has picked one of them up. And we want you to use them, or hard as that you use them, as whatever's best. But the main thing I had was maybe even a year from now when you pick this up, somehow it will remind you of the burden that we had here, that it will remind you to press on towards the goals, towards the end of life, to be all for God that you can be. We have a part in the back or somewhere where we have goals and commitments, and I'm not sure if I'll remember, but I just want to say that that's been a real blessing in my life, young people, and I have much want in my life and I have much need. But to set some goals and to make commitments throughout this week, clear in the back, I just want to encourage you to do that. As God shares truth with you, it's okay for you to commit and say, Lord, please help me. I want to commit to doing this, and I can't do it without your help. But to write some of those things down is some of our hearts. So use these as a tool that best works for you, to take notes or whatever best works for you. But maybe we could just stand and sing. I know we probably may not have time, but I'd kind of like to stand and sing 509. If you would lead that.
Thank you.
feeble frame, you know how our mind works. And Lord, we just look to you. Would you guide and lead us and help, Lord, to bring understanding to the few short thoughts that you've given me, Lord. So thank you for each one that is here. We're looking to you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'd like to talk a bit about humility. And I know there's a lot shared. There's a lot said about humility. In fact, it would be really interesting to take each one of you somehow, and I wish I'd had time to do that, and just take you aside by yourself where you can't hear what anyone else says and say, what is humility? And we hear it talked about, and there's different concepts, and I'm not here to say that I am the final word on humility, but it is a journey that that God is working in my life on, and I have much need of that. And I'd just like to share some of the things that God is teaching me. The first thing I'd like to say is there's a lot of ideas about humility that are not right. There's a lot of concepts about humility that are wrong. They're false. There's false humility. The other thing that I'd like to say is I'm sharing it first because I believe as we think of living a life of purpose, I believe that if you can live a life in true humility, I think it's one of the keys to life. It is one of the keys to life. Brothers and sisters, we can either live life in our own strength or we can live life in the power of God. And humility is what leads us to living our lives in the power of God. You know, as a young Christian, I was seeking power. I was seeking power with God. You hear people say, pray for power, ask for power, look for power, seek power, go after power. And it was power to win the multitudes. It was power to move mountains. It's power to do all these things. There's a voice in Christianity today that is seeking power. But my dear brothers and sisters, they're missing it. The key is, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, pray for humility. Ask for humility. Seek for humility. Humility leads us to death of our carnal self, our carnal desires. And when we're not depending on them, then the power of God can fill our lives. And we can live and move in that power. And we can live our lives in the power of God. So I'm just telling you today, pray for humility, seek humility, go after humility, and live in humility. It's a key. That at the end of your life, if you live a life of humility, I think you'll have many fruits. You'll be able to say you had a life of purpose here on earth. Many times we experience the opposite. How many times have you slipped up and allowed pride to come out of your life, and you went to someone and you said something to lift yourself up or to exalt yourself, and afterward you were just ashamed. You were ashamed. I think we've all experienced that. I have. I've experienced it many times. But I want you to think about, why does this happen? Why do we slip up? Why is there pride in our life? Why do we say things that embarrass us? Why do these things happen? My dear young brothers and sisters, it happens because that's what's in our heart. And Jesus says, what's in our heart comes out. When self is on the throne of our heart, it doesn't matter how much effort you put in, it's going to come out. No matter how much false humility you put on, it doesn't matter what you do to keep it down, some one way or another, it's going to expose itself. And true humility leads to the death of that self that's in our heart and that's in our life. So may we... May God help us here. Today I'd like to just, in a short little bit here, I'm not sure that we'll have the time, but I have an outline here. I'd like to look at the purpose of humility, you know. I just want to say that humility, there's a reason for it. It's not just one of these things that that God talks about in His Word that says, okay, well, if you have a little humility, fine. And if you don't have any, fine. That's not the way humility is. Humility does have a real purpose that God gave it. God gave us humility, and He has something that when it's blossoming in our life, it has accomplished something beautiful. It truly has. It's not one of these things that you can just put on by putting on a certain set of clothes or by acting a certain way or by doing certain things. You can't do that. But it is one of the attitudes of our heart that we have almost more control of in our life than many of the other graces that God gives us, or many of the other postures of our heart. It is something that we can affect the amount of humility in our life by abasing ourselves. And we can do that with God's strength almost any time we want. We can choose to abase ourselves. So humility is something that we directly have a lot of influence as to how much of it is really in our lives. We have a lot of input as to how much humility is in our lives. Now, to start here, let me finish some of the outline. The purpose of humility, it does have a purpose. It is a secret to fruitfulness. Humility is the secret of life in humility. Choosing the attitude of humility, we'd like to talk some about that. The posture of humility, accurate self-appraisal. We want to talk about that a little bit. Christ's example of humility. Humility never criticizes and disrespects those in authority. Number 9, self-emptying humility. And number 10, we can always know what God is doing. Now, so we have 1, the purpose of humility. 2, the secret. It's a secret to life, to a godly life. 3 is choosing the attitude of humility. 4 is the posture of humility. What is the posture of humility? 5 is accurate self-appraisal. That's a big one I'd like to spend some time on. 6 is Christ's example of humility. 7 is humility never criticizes and disrespects those in authority. 8 is a self-emptying humility. And 9, we can always know what God is doing. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 14. And I'd like to start by sharing a story that Jesus shared in His Word to lay a foundation here for some of our thoughts. Luke 14, verse 7. And He put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when He marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them. Now here, Jesus was sitting here. This is an interesting story here, brothers and sisters. Jesus was sitting there, and He was just observing. And He didn't know it, but He could see their hearts. They couldn't see His heart, but He could see theirs. And as He sat there, He just watched. And it seemed like everybody that came in, they went for the highest seat. No one was there sitting them, but everyone just went for the highest seat. And He sat there, and He just watched this. And He was amazed. And as He watched this happen over and over, all of a sudden, He started teaching about it, and He said this story. The chief rooms here is actually the chief seats. And He said unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think that message, that story is really pretty simple. And it's really pretty self-explanatory. I had thought of taking some time to go down through this and talk about some. But I don't think we will. I think this story is really, really self-explanatory. But the message that Jesus was sharing in this story, it is not to go in and take the lowest seat that you can find and be sitting there with hopes that everybody sees you, and that when the guy comes that invited you, he's going to say, hey, you brother, you come up here and you sit up here at the highest seat. That's not the message that Jesus wants us to take from this story. That self-conceit and that self-deception. The message is that when we get somewhere and we see everyone else, no matter if they're dressed in rags or what they're dressed in, that we honor them above ourselves and that we realize that they're more important than we are, and that the only seat that really makes sense for me is to take the one that is the lowest. That is what Jesus is teaching here. That we have that posture in our heart towards everyone. Is that right? That's the posture He wants us to have in our hearts. Self-conceit, you know. I want you to think about not even out in our world system does someone that stands up and boasts, or someone that is arrogant, or someone that brags on themselves, not even the heathen appreciate someone like that. Not even the heathen get anywhere in this life by doing that. Can you imagine? Humanity doesn't appreciate someone that boasts about themselves, someone that is proud, someone that has those things in their heart. Have you ever seen someone stand up and just boast about themselves and then the multitudes come and just hug them? It doesn't work that way, does it? So why do we do it? Why do we exalt ourselves? It's in our hearts, brothers and sisters. And it's in our hearts because we haven't allowed humility to bring death to those selfish appetites and desires that are in our heart. But brothers and sisters, if we can allow humility to take us to that lowly place, and we can really see who we are in light of who God is. And I had to think of John in Revelations when he saw Christ. It doesn't give any details. It just says he fell on his face as a dead man. And brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity to allow that posture in our hearts. It doesn't take divine gifting. It doesn't take special revelation. It doesn't take special power from God. When we see, when we get a glimpse of God, we will do that, brothers and sisters. We will fall on our face. There won't be any pride, any self left in our hearts. But brothers and sisters, we can choose to seek God in that way. And when we, even in this life, we can see God that way by the eyes of faith. And we can allow humility to take our hearts to that place. And we can live. I haven't always done that. It's a pursuit. It's a journey I'm on. But I just want to encourage us to live that way. That is my burden. That is when humility has accomplished what it is intended for. It blooms when we are down low. When we see ourselves, honestly see ourselves that way. Not when we just put ourselves there to see if someone's looking, or there's many false ways to do it, brothers and sisters. But that's not true humility. There's so many times I think people are wondering, what's humility and what's pride and what's this and what's that? Brothers and sisters, my heart is, I hope I don't confuse you. Humility has a purpose. It leads us to complete dependence on God. Complete dependence on God. Philippians says, do nothing by seeking, through selfish motives, through strife or selfishness or unworthy ends, or promoted by conceit and empty arrogance, Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves, is what he's saying. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. God raises up the humble, right? We hear it all the time. We really do. It's just a secret, brothers and sisters. It is a secret to a fruitful life. A life of blessings in the kingdom of God. The Bible warns against self-exaltation. Proverbs, when pride cometh, then shame cometh. But with the lowly is vision. Proverbs 11:2. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. He gives more grace. I wish I had looked that word up. Those words up a little more. He gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives his power to the humble, you could say. Proverbs 15:33, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord brings instruction, and wisdom and humility comes before honor. So, we have here, I just used these flowers as a little example. I'd like to talk about them. You know, you have this little seed and you plant it in the ground. Pretty soon you have a stem coming up, and here you have a flower that hasn't bloomed yet. But God really has a reason for that flower, and it's to bless us. Isn't that amazing? But when that flower blooms, look at its beauty. So when this flower is in full bloom, it is accomplishing what God really intended for this flower to do. And it's meant as a blessing to each one of us. And I'd like for you to look at humility in the same way. And I'd like for you to remember these two flowers in the future when you think about humility. Humility has a purpose. But until it brings complete dependence and complete surrender to God into our lives, it is not of much value. But when humility brings us to where we're looking up and we're completely depending on Father, then humility is in full bloom. It is blooming. It has accomplished its purposes. It has done what God has designed humility to do. It is to bring us to a life of dependence on the Father. That is our heart today. I hope I'm not confusing you. Humility is not a skill that you practice for a while. How many of you? I'd like for you to make it a priority this week. If you don't add anything else into your life, if you're here all week and you hear all these things that are said and you don't remember anything else, I'd like for you to make it a goal to add more humility to your life. Because it's not just a skill that, okay, you work at it for a little while and then you work on something else and then you work on this. Practice allowing humility to take you to complete dependence on God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Why don't we all stand for just a little bit, can we? It's afternoon, and humility, it's not really a virtue. It's not really a grace. It's an attitude. It's an attitude in our heart. It's an attitude of the mind, and it's knowing our proper place. We should never talk or look down because someone may be less than we are. True humility, when you're walking down the street and you see this man that is drunk, and this has happened to me. He's drunk and he's laying on the street and he has no clothes on and he's puked. True humility won't stand there and make fun and scoff at this man. How can you? True humility will reach down and do everything you can to help him. True humility doesn't scoff and mock and put other people down. And when someone has wronged you, push them into the corner until they repent and apologize and treat you right. That's not true humility. And that's not the way true humility works. It's sad, but that's how many Christians treat each other that way, even in the church. It's a vicious spirit. It's not humility. True humility of mind is putting the other person first, no matter how it is, no matter who it is, if I can say it right. It's being like Christ. You know, Christ did that. I wish I had the capacity to tell you what Christ did for us. I wish one of you would want to try. I mean, He was God. He would have had to do nothing of the sort of what He did. But Philippians tells us, and we'll read it later, He didn't hold on to any of the things He had. He intentionally said, I have all these riches, I'm God. He intentionally set them all aside and came to be just like we are. And so true humility does the same for the drunk man that is laying on the street, that's puked and doesn't have a shirt. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for your attention. True humility is a secret in life. True humility is rare. And it's the purpose of humility is to lead us to the death of our own strength and to live in the power of God. Does that make any sense? Have I explained that well enough at all? Is there confusion? I do want to open it up here when we're done. And I want to open it up at the beginning of every one of my sessions. I'd like to open it up. If you have any questions or comments or thoughts or even corrections for me in any way, I want to hear your heart. This is your time, young people, and I'm just so blessed that you're here seeking the Lord. And humility is the blossom in which death to self is the perfect fruit, if we can say that right. I had to think of these words. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's just the way God works. God's strength is made perfect when we're depending on Him. It's completely opposite of what our flesh wants to do. Now, am I up here saying that you should all just go home and lay up here and look at God and depend on Him? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, and that's something I should have done some work on. But as we go through life and someone mistreats us, it's a Christian brother. He mistreats us. What do we do? Do we take matters into our own hand? True humility. Lord, I'm not sure what you want me to learn, but I know there's something you want to teach me through this experience. That's what I'm talking about. And we face it. You'll face it here. You'll have the opportunity just the way you talk to your friends here this week, the way you share in the prayer room. We'll talk about some of that later here. There's a The next one here is choosing the attitude of humility. It's a choice. We'll have many opportunities to do that in life. It comes out, how much humility we have in our life comes out in the way we talk about others. Do you believe that? The way I can stand here and tell Brother Lamar about Laban reveals whether I have true humility in my heart or not. Is that right, brothers and sisters? It does. It really does. It comes out in what we say about others. It comes out in how we treat others. Many times throughout our life, we expose whether we have true humility or whether we don't. Humility is a journey to dependence on God and death to our carnal strength. I want to say that again. One of the first and chief marks of a true follower of Jesus Christ is humility, is depending on Him in many areas of our life. Humility is not something that can be put on with certain clothes, but what we do wear can expose the pride in our hearts. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, and he careth for you. Humility is not being insecure, and it's not poor self-esteem, and it's not just putting self down. It's not just going up and saying, oh, Lamar, I'm so bad at this. I wish I wasn't so bad. And Lamar says, oh, no, you're not. You're really good at it. So putting ourselves down is nothing but rotten pride, as well as exalting ourselves. It's the same thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about saying things to put yourself down and having low self-esteem and being insecure. That is not humility. That is pride. But true humility evaluates honestly. It takes an honest evaluation. And we're going to talk about this. Where it takes an honest evaluation of who I am and how I am. And it's honest about it. It's not exalting myself. And it's not putting myself down. But it's saying, here I am. And I need God. And I need God's help in my life. That's humility. I can't do it without God. I can't do it by myself. It's a posture of our heart. It's something we really can do. We can really do much of it. We can do it. We can go a long way at any time we choose to, just in how we choose to view ourselves. Choosing to base ourselves. Now, the posture of humility. And I've talked about this a little bit. But Jesus, it's an interesting to me here. In Luke 18, verse 16 and 17, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. You know, and one of the traits of a child that I just want to say to you, there when they're this, I'm talking to a child this big. Everybody it walks up to, it has to look up. Everywhere it goes, it's completely dependent on something else. And I believe that's one of the things that Jesus is talking about. He's saying that if we can't have this posture to God, the way we live our Christian lives, then we're probably not living for God. We're probably not being fruitful. We're probably not living in His power. We're probably living on our own strength. The posture of a child, looking up. Remember that posture. That's how God wants us to live, looking to Him. Now I'd like to talk just a little bit here about self-appraisal, accurate self-appraisal. One of the definitions that we could say that true humility is accurately appraising ourselves. Now when the word self comes up, people are scared of it. So what happens, the majority of the people, they don't even think about their own lives because that can be pride. That's not pride to, it's not pride to, it's not proud to try to evaluate honestly who I am and where I am and what my needs are and do it in a way of that is right. I'm not putting myself down and I'm not lifting myself up, but to say that here I am. You know, I want to give this example. There was a young man here not too long ago that was trying to find my place. And he was coming from up north, and he was coming down 27. And he had no idea where I lived. And so he sent me a text, and I forget what it said. And so I texted him back, and I said, where are you? He said, I'm in Bern. No, I think I actually called him, if I remember right. I finally called him, and I said, where are you at? And he said, I'm in Bern. I said, well, if you're in Bern, you went too far. Turn around and go back north. And so I said, okay, and we talked a little, and we hung up, and I waited quite a while, and pretty soon I called him again. And I said, where are you at? And he said, I'm at 300 North. And I said, how can you be at 300 North? I said, check again. He said, no, I'm at 300 North. I said, well, turn around and come back south. You went too far the other way this time. And so finally, he came and I gave him specific directions, and he found his way to our place. And one of the first things I asked him is, where were you at when you told me you were in Bern? And he said, well, I just passed a sign on 27 that said Bern, and I thought I was in Bern. And then I remembered there was a sign north of me that said Bern, and he saw that sign, and he thought it was in Bern. So I said, turn around and go back north because you went too far. Well, the truth of the matter was that what I'm trying to tell you all is the young man didn't know where he was. And so if you don't know where you are, he couldn't tell me where he was, and I couldn't give him accurate instructions. I couldn't tell him where to go because he didn't know where he was. And that's why it's important in our lives, young people, to learn, make a note of this, to learn the practice of being able to know where we are, to evaluate our lives, honestly look at them and say, when we think of all the godly characters and all the things that God wants in our life, when it comes to honesty, integrity, and all these things, if we don't learn to evaluate where we are, we're never going to be able to find help for where we want to go. We're never going to be able to find the right information in the right direction for where we want to go if we can't honestly evaluate in our lives where we are now. And it's something I want you to give some thought to. Are we lost? Can we be honest? If we're proud, can we acknowledge it? I'm proud. It's okay to do that. If we have backslidden, can we confess it? If we can do this, we will have so many blessings this week we won't be able to contain them. But accurate self-appraisal is healthy. Self-knowledge, it's not easy, but it's an exercise I want you to think about. When you think about all the things in life, where am I? I think God will bless that. Deception starts and keeps people in darkness for years when they're never able to evaluate themselves and be really honest with where they are with God, where they are in their spiritual walk, where they are in life. I think it's important that we're able to do that. Having true, accurate knowledge of where you are is very important so you can start making the right changes with God's help. If we don't know where we are, who can tell you where to go? It's hard to do that when we don't know where we are. The one thing that we didn't take a lot of time to talk about is, you know, the Bible tells us to humble ourselves. And it's something we can do. But how many of you have also had God do things that have humbled you? God can do that. It's not His first choice. But sometimes God does do that. When pride gets so far, when pride gets so puffed up, when pride goes out that far, God just, He's constantly putting that pride down. And He goes under here, the low, and He's picking the lowly up. That's what God is doing. But God would rather that we would humble ourselves. He says it over and over in His Word. Think with me of the example of Jesus Christ. And I feel my words are inadequate. But I'm just going to read these passages of Scripture. We heard them yesterday from a brother that shared. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Jesus. Think about this mind, who being God, didn't even hesitate. He just said, you know what? I'm God, but I'm just going to put all this aside. Think about it. Think about the next time you see this lost drunkard that has nothing. He's almost the scum of the earth. Think about the mind of Christ. Do you have that mind? Do you have the same mind that Christ did? Will you reach out and help? Will you make a difference for this man in your life? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. My young brothers and sisters, there is no way that I have the ability to stand here and put into words so that you can understand what Christ did. I wish I could. It would almost be like Donald Trump becoming a mouse times 10,000. There's no way to put it into words what Christ did. Think of Donald Trump becoming an ant. Multiply that times 10,000. That gives you just a glimpse of what Christ did. That was the mind he had. And I tend to not be trying to hold Donald Trump up. I'm just trying to use someone that you all know. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The worst death that any human could experience. He was, him dying that death made him the scum of the earth. The worst criminals, the worst of the worst, were the only ones that were nailed to a cross. That the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, okay. Wherefore, for this reason, God has highly exalted him. Look at what God is doing. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He lived here with absolutely nothing. If you was to look at the, how many of you, if you was to see the possessions that Jesus had when he left earth, I mean, they took his mantle and rolled dice, played for his dice. I mean, there was nothing left. An empty tomb. It was about what he left here on earth. And this is what he says to all of us today. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. And when we're meek and lowly in heart, we will find rest for our souls. There's rest there, brothers and sisters. Humility never criticizes and disrespects those in authority. It never takes cheap shots at them, even if they do something wrong. True humility understands God. True humility knows that God works through my authorities. And true humility says, God's trying to perfect something in my life. Even when we don't understand, even when it looks like our authorities have made the wrong mistakes, I've watched God do some amazing things in that way. How many of you are critical with your parents and the decisions they make? How many of you find fault with their plans and what they want to do? How many of you think they're wrong? Wait till I have a chance. I'm pretty sure that there's a good chance that some of you probably have struggles in your heart towards authority and towards your parents. And it's a good indicator that you might be lacking in true humility. You might be lacking a bit. True humility knows that God worked through even the bad decisions to better our lives. I just want to give you the short account on this subject. A French general was riding horseback at the head of his troops when he heard one of his soldiers complain. His soldier said, "It is so easy for the general to command us to walk forward while he rides and we walk." Then the general stopped and dismounted his horse and compelled the grumbler to get on the horse. As they were coming through a ravine, a shot was heard. The bullet from a sharpshooter struck the grumbler that was riding, and he fell off his horse and was killed instantly. Then the general said, "It is so much safer to walk than it is to ride." It is pride that complains and murmurs and criticizes your parents and your leaders, and just murmurs and complains. It's pride that does that. It's not humility. May God help us in this area of our lives. We don't know what all they face, but when we do this, when we're criticizing them, we're not preparing ourselves for our future. It's not helping us. It was interesting to me here in 1 Peter, The way God put this verse together. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and gives grace to the humble." God resisteth the proud, and gives grace to the humble. You know, maybe there's attitudes in your heart towards your parents, and maybe you struggle with authority. This week you have an opportunity to practice and respect authority with the principles here. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Just choose to. Just choose to abase yourself and try to do what they want you to do. It's a way to allow true humility into our life. Self-emptying humility. Just emptying self. This is one of the points I didn't spend a lot of time on. I just like to mention it a little bit here. You know, you hear people talk about humble pie. How many of you have heard that? It's not humble pie. You know, humble pie may taste awful, but it contains a lot of rich nourishment for our souls. It's actually good. I would encourage you to eat it. When the opportunity is there, abase yourself. Humble pie. I have the example here of the Good Samaritan. It was really interesting to me. I thought we could read through it. Maybe one of you young men, is there a mic up here so it goes on the recording here? Maybe give it to one of the young men there that can read. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Maybe it don't have a battery in it. It looks like it's okay. Why don't you give it to this young man right here in the second row? Why don't you read Luke 10? I think we're just going to take the time to read this passage. And I want you to watch for this guy's name. This guy's name here in this passage. It's really interesting what he's called here. Let's start in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Start there and read down through 34, 35, maybe 35, if you would there. Try to remember your name.
Josh.
Thank you, Josh. If you would just read loud and clear.
Sure.
That'd be a blessing. And you all watch for this man's name in this account. See what the Lord called him here.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set on him his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
Amen. Which of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Thank you, Josh. You read to where I asked you to. Thank you so much. Now, what was this man's name? Did you catch it? His name's not given, is it? Kind of interesting to me. And there's a principle here that I want us to think about. There's a principle here that this man did this good deed, but there's his name is not given. And I think it's really interesting that we don't know who it was that did this. And I think it speaks a message to us. I think that God wants us to follow this example. I think he wants us to do things just like this and not worry about whether anyone knows that we did them or not. Is that possible? Is that possible that that's some of the message that we get from this account? That God wants us to help whoever comes along our way, and he doesn't want us to really worry too much about whether we get credit for it or not. I think that's one of the messages here. And I think there would be more done in the church today if there was true humility to the point that we don't really care who gets the credit for it. We don't really care if someone knows I gave that or if someone knows I did that. There would be a lot more done. And I think that's one of the messages here that God has for us in this account. Some good things to practice. Letting others go first. You know, one of the things that I think is a blessing, it just shows that you have others on your heart. You know, I know that there can be this thing where there can be pride in going last, but I think there can also be a real care and concern for others and you wanting them to be blessed. I think that can be a good practice. You know, when we sit down, some people, I'm amazed, I want to watch what I say here, but when we sit down, many times I can't help but think about, I just try to get everybody else water that's close to me. And I think it's a good practice. It shows that we care about others. Before I just sit down and start chomping away, and I think about the others around me. And do they have what they need? Yeah, they do. Then we can eat. There are just many different ways that can be practiced. Maybe you have some ideas. You know, you can give, if there are things you really enjoy and it's the last one, give it to someone else. True humility sees a need and never even has a thought, will I get credit for meeting it? I had to think of, I didn't put it in here, but I had to think of, I think it's in Matthew 25, when Jesus has the multitude on the right hand and he has the multitude on the left. And he says to the right hand, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they say, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we do it? They didn't remember doing it. They had a true humility in their heart. They saw this need and they met it. They didn't want any credit for it. They just had compassion for their fellow man. They were living in true humility in the power of God. Jesus' words here, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's the reward we want, brothers and sisters. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Later on in the chapter, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That is our heart, humility in full bloom. Here's another account. Years ago, there was a baker that had a burden to help feed the poor children in his town. So he went out and found the 20 poorest children in town, and he said to them, in this basket is a loaf of bread for each of you. Take one and come back every day, and I will give you more. Immediately, the youngsters began quarreling about who would get the largest loaf. Snatching from the basket, they left without even thanking the baker. Gretchen, a poorly dressed little girl, patiently waited until the others had left. She then took the smallest loaf, which remained in the basket, kissed the old man's hand, and went home. The next day, the scene was repeated. But when Gretchen's mother sliced this loaf, she found many shiny silver pieces inside. Then Gretchen took the money back to the baker, and he said, no, my child, this was not a mistake. I put them into the smallest loaf to reward you. Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God does. That is the way God is. When we empty ourselves, His will can be realized in each of our lives. Humility in full bloom. Christ's example. It doesn't criticize and disrespect an authority. The posture of it, we can know. Think of these flowers. We can know, I think that's one thing that somehow I think I forgot to say. But I do want to say that, I do want to close with, I want you to think about this. We hear, many times we hear different things said about humility, and this is one I want to talk about. If you think you're humble, then you're proud. How many of you have heard that? Brothers and sisters, there's probably some truth to that, but I don't really like I don't really like it for truth completely. I think there can be pride in our lives. And I think that once we think we're humble, we can be proud. I think that's all true. But I also think that there's a way to know when true humility is blooming in my life. When I'm dependent on God. When opportunities come and I could take things into my own hand, but I choose to wait on God. I think we can know when we have true humility in our lives. I think we can. Many times we wonder what God is like and what God is doing. I just want to say, we can always know that God is doing this one thing. It's not a secret if we're wondering. We can always know that God is abasing and putting down the proud, and that He's exalting and raising up the truly humble. And He's providing for everyone that trusts Him. I have never in all the years that humanity has lived on earth, I have yet to hear one testimony that I trusted in God, but God failed. God will never do that. God will never fail the person that has true humility in his heart and is completely dependent on Him. God will never. God delights in meeting that person that is trusting in Him. God loves it when we trust Him. It is the highest way we can honor God is by depending, saying, Lord, I'm waiting on You. I'm trusting You. Lord, I'm depending on You. Lord, I put my faith in You. Lord, I'm looking to You. Humility in full bloom. May God help us. Brothers and sisters, I think it's a key to living a life of purpose. I really do. It's a journey I'm on, and I have much to learn. And God is teaching me. But if you strive to live your life in this true humility, you will live a life of purpose. I believe that. I really do. So, thank you all. I'm excited about the week and what God wants to do in our lives together.